That I would like to offer to you to have the refraining and letting go renunciation, giving it up a little bit sort of a practice in life, which is very appropriate in Buddhism, because it enables us to go towards generosity and compassion by giving up some little things we have, and which benefit us a lot, right? So why does it benefit, which I will explain in my talk, because the benefit outweighs the loss that we have for giving up that a little bit of our time, of our possessions, of our, you know, and desires, like that. It brings so much benefit in life. For example, a lot of people are going on diet, weight control, etc. It is very popular nowadays, this weight control thing is, right? And in Buddhist way, this renunciation, this giving up, this letting go of desires and physical things and properties and things like that, to an extent that, you know, we create generosity and goodwill towards, compassion towards other people, all right? So, for example, in Buddhism, we practice mindfulness, right? That what we are doing here, meditating, to establish this mindfulness of noticing the breath coming in, brushing through the tip of the nose, that little sensation with the mind focused there, we really see it, feel it with the mind. Sometimes it's so subtle, we feel it with the mind. When it goes out again, it brushes through this tip of your nose concentration point, we feel it with our mind's eye, right? So like that, this is establishing mindfulness, right? So when we have this mindfulness established, all right, we're going to use that in the daily life. For example, weight control, very popular topic nowadays. Okay, now we're going to eat, right? And big pile of food there for the whole family. You know, you help yourself as much as you like in the abundant, and so much we have in these free countries. You can eat as much as you like. Nobody won't eat that much. All the family has to eat too. You can't eat that much. But here, everyone can eat. The whole family members can. Now, in that environment, we're going to use this mindfulness. Okay, now we're going to do this weight control with this mindfulness, mindfulness that we have established in our meditation practice. Okay, the food is there, family members, you can serve as much as you want, right? So now the mindfulness come in. You are mindful that, with the mindfulness, you notice that your desire to eat that food is coming up with happiness, glee. Oh, this is food is so good, I'm going to gobble it up, right? Now the mindfulness said, okay, you know, if you gobble that food up, especially fatty foods are very tasty, chips and everything, right? If you're going to gobble it up, the mindfulness said, think what will happen, right? It will go into you and it will accumulate on your waist and other parts of your body. That with mindfulness, you have this investigation coming in, and then you start contemplating through this investigation and getting the right understanding of all the things we have heard of the doctors and dietitians and health experts telling us that eating fatty food and overeating and eating too much is not good for us, right? So we put the food in the plate. Now we are using mindfulness in real situation of weight control. We put the food in the plate. Obviously, naturally, we put a lot of course, because we're hungry or we like the food. Okay, now mindfulness come in, you know. If I eat this food, the plate up, and then help more, what will happen? My waist will become bigger. That's what will happen. Now, bit of letting go, all right? This desire as well as this food, okay? I put, you know, 1/3 away of the food. Right? What left, you look at it. If I only eat that, will I die of starvation? Ask yourself, no, I won't die of starvation. This is more than enough food that people eating in the poor countries, right? And then this is amount I can sustain my body. Now the mindfulness is coming in with all the investigation and wisdom from all your research you have done with the doctors and health experts. Now you will survive, right? So then, with this understanding and realization, you will practice it. Sometimes, most of the time, we don't practice it because our practice is not strong enough, right? And mindfulness is not well established enough. So we will, oh bugger off, I'll put that one back in and you eat. And then your waist become bigger again. But with the wisdom coming in, now this renunciation, this letting go of this 1/4 of the food that I'm going to eat, right? What benefit will it give? The benefit it will give is, in the long run, your weight becomes start reducing, right? And then in the long run, you feel much better. And then next time you eat after 3-4 months, the amount you eat, again, you take off certain portion, leave only the portion that you will survive, that you wouldn't suffer. You wouldn't get, nobody get heart attack of eating less food. Enough less food I'm talking about, not anorexic sort of food, right? So you just eat enough food, you'll be healthy. So what are the gains of eating just this enough food? Then your weight will go down gradually, you know, little by little. At the first week of the month, it'll be about, just say 70 kilograms. At the end of the month, it's 68 kilograms. You lost 2 kilograms. And what health, you know, shortages of suffering, any suffering on your health because you eat less? Nothing. But your mind suffers. Your mind wants to, that chocolate, that, you know, drumstick, right? You want to tuck in. That's where the training of the mind in meditation, and that's where this establishment of this mindfulness come in, to make the mind strong, to be able to withstand it. So when you are going to bed and your tummy is rumbling and you're hungry and you want to open the fridge and put the hand inside the fridge, stop there and close the fridge and sit down and say, this feeling I have of this rumbling and wanting to eat, right? It's coming from desire, not from the need of the body, right? The body, okay, it's not dead yet. It's running around and healthy and, you know, feeling very good, all right? Just the mind, craving, it's called tanha, that's Buddhist said. That's craving is the main basic cause of all our sufferings. If you understand that this craving that I have now is the one that make me obese, that made me have these diabetes, this craving, this tanha, is the one that make me lose my confidence. I can't even wear the clothes I want anymore, isn't it? Like that. So you think deeply about this, you know, craving that you have, and realizing that that craving is in the mind, not the body. The body doesn't need that food, but the mind wants it, right? So this is practicing Buddhism in real world, right? So you just then you have to think about rewards. By practicing this letting go, by not, you know, following these cravings, what will I benefit? The fair benefit is that a body that is so healthy, a body that is, you know, now in a very prime state with injunction with the exercise. Without exercise, it wouldn't do much. It will do some, but exercise, if you combine with this dieting, then, you know, you'll benefit a lot. You become fitter, you know, you become can do a lot of things more than before, you know. Before you would be lethargic and tired and this and that, but now the body has a lot of energy, right? So this is a thing to practice this mindfulness in action, on using it on, for an example, on this weight control, isn't it? And also what food you eat is another matter, isn't it? In the weight control, you know, you say, okay, I'll only eat half of it, but all the fatty things, all the burgers and chips and everything, that wouldn't do either, isn't it? So you have to eat what food is good for the body. The body inside is all chemicals, and the mind react to all these chemicals that produce in the body, and that makes you feel good and bad. That influence your mood as well, whether you are depressed or you're unhappy, or whether you are, you know, happy, you know, that depends on the food as well. The food, what it produces inside, got all the chemicals that makes the body you know, this way, that way, and then the mind acts this way, that way. So a lot of, for example, people in the bacon and egg in the morning, and, you know, I'm not against bacon and egg, I eat sometimes as well, but if you eat constantly in huge amount, that's not going to do good. But if you weigh with the, you know, mindfulness and understanding through this research of these all the health journals and this and that, instead of that, you just eat a unprocessed bran, like, you know, oat bran, and then, you know, other things like that, you know, put with a bit of cereal in it, no sugar in it, just milk, put milk in it, and then you eat it. If you want, if you worry, get some supplement like calcium tablets or vitamin tablets or whatever, you can do it, you know, and then vitamin D's, and then glucosamine and that sort of thing, right? You can take, and then take that in the morning. What that food do is, you know, it the bacteria in the guts, that it's a scientific evidence now, the level of the good bacteria in the butt in the gut can help people to shape their mind in a positive way. But if other side of bad bacteria through bad food, then the people can be depressed, people can have all sort of, you know, unpleasant feelings and emotions and very sensitive and things like that. I read once in a internet, this girl was so depressed all her life, she even don't want to go out, afraid to go out. And all the doctors and this and they go through everything, and then nothing works for her. And then one of the doctors changed her diet, a strict diet on these things. And after 4 or 5 months, she feels different. All the depression reduced, and then suddenly she become free again. She go out, you know, no feeling of fear or anything like that. So food is medicine. What you eat is what you are, and it is very important to eat the right food, like a lot of veggies, wise to wash very thoroughly before you eat, because you say, okay, veggies good, and you eat, and then all the thing they spray on it is not very good either, so you have to wash them. And then all the, you know, other good food and sugar and things like that, they are very dangerous. If you would like sugar, use honey. It's more beneficial, as well as still sweet, like that substitutes, right? And then this is the investigation coming through mindfulness, and knowing that if I give up these fatty foods, this sugar, too much salt, then I'll be very healthy, right? And then this is maybe partly true, I think. I heard from a lady, she got all sort of things, high blood sugar and this and that. And then she got a regular doctor. And one time she went to the doctor and the doctor measured and then all gone. And doctor said, what did you do? Because she's not the type that'll do exercise. She said, I take a half a spoon of, half a spoon of this a spice.
Turmeric?
No. Cinnamon. Half a spoon of cinnamon, you know, from Ceylon cinnamon, she said. I take it every day without fail. So I heard it, so I made research and it says pretty good things about it. So you never know, if you try it, you might see your benefit. This, I'm not endorsing anything. What I heard, I'm telling you. But what I'm saying is, food is medicine, right? So if you research it, there are many food that is good for you. So eat those food rather than following your desire and eating those chips and those really tasty fatty food. You can eat once in a while. I go to the, you know, Hungry Jack's once in a while. That's all right. I enjoy it, but not all the time, right? We eat a chicken without skin like that, you know, at home. So be health conscious. So what I'm saying this talk is to practice mindfulness in real life. Just giving you an example of how we can use it in weight control, right? So before you eat, when the desire coming up, the mindfulness will tell you, oh, you're now getting greedy and you really want that, don't you? Okay, you eat it now, you think what will happen, right? You want to be that, you know, big balloon? Or you want to be that, like, thin and fit and, you know, really, you know, nice looking young man, young lady, like Pete, isn't it?
Don't use me as an example.
Yeah.
So, I'm not a good example.
Yeah, so this is to use Buddhism in real life. Will it work? Yes, it will. What does it need to do? Need to practice, need to have a strong mind to establish this mindfulness. Once you have done that, it's guaranteed that your body will be healthy, your mind will be healthy. So I offer this to you tonight. Hope you can use it in your daily life. Thank you.
Thank you.